faithful till death, you show us the road to greater love. O Christ, by taking the burden of sin upon yourself, reveal to us the way of generosity. O Christ, by praying for those who crucified you, you lead us to forgive without counting the cost. O Christ, by opening paradise to the repentant thief, you awaken hope in us. O Christ, send your Spirit into our hearts. O Christ, pour your love into our lives. O Christ, shine your light into our darkness. Amen. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. There. If I make my bed in Shiloh, you are there. Glory. Surely the darkness shall cover me, and a light around me come night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, the darkness is the light to you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and is forever. Amen. Our scripture reading tonight comes from John 18, 1-11. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having appeared at the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, I told you that I am he, so if you seek me, let these men go. This is fulfilled the word that he had spoken. Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's servant, cut off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus told Peter, put your sword in the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. He was a professional thief. His name invoked the fear throughout the Wild West. He terrorized Wells Fargo's stagecoach line, roaring like a tornado and spooking most rugged cowboys. During his reign of terror from 1875 to 1883, he stole hundreds of thousands of dollars. No victim ever saw him. No artist could sketch him. And no sheriff could ever track him down. His name? Black Bart. John introduces us to another Black Bart. If you ever felt shame or disgrace, it was he who discouraged you. If you ever felt alone or abandoned, it was all according to his plan. If you ever felt useless or no good, well, he is the one waving his finger in your face. He just doesn't want your money. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything. What's his name? Guilt. An entrapment of remorse, an ongoing, you're worthless mentality. So, what sucked you under? Was it a one-night stand? A fist fight? Did you take something that wasn't yours? Or maybe that guilt wasn't for a moment, but a season for your life. Maybe you failed as a parent, blew your career, squandered your youth or your money, maybe both. We're in a series called Witnesses of Christ. Today we meet Peter. Peter's in the courtyard of the high priest Caiaphas. In that courtyard, we see guilt. We see Peter's guilt. Perhaps we see our own guilt. And beyond the courtyard, we see grace. And grace for Peter and grace for us. To get this context, we have to rewind a little bit back to Gethsemane, where we hear the claim, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus and Peter have been through a lot together. 3 years earlier, Jesus was walking on the shore, north shore of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus sees Peter and his brother Andrew fishing and calls them, come, I will make you fishers of men. Then one day and a year later, Peter follows Jesus out to sea on the Sea of Galilee when there was a huge storm. Peter walks on the water, but when he begins to sink, Jesus immediately reaches out his hand, takes hold of Peter, and saves him. At one point, Peter says to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. At another point, Jesus takes Peter along with James and John to the glory of the Mount of Transfiguration. And then Jesus invites the same trio to witness the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. No wonder Peter makes the claim, I will lay down my life for you. Some of us have made this claim too. When we confirm, do you intend to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed, true to faith to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? And we have said, I do. As the events in the courtyard unfold, it's kind of like cracks in a foundation that slowly start to spread. A servant girl comes to Peter and says, you also were one of those men with the disciples, are you? Well, I'm not, says Peter. The first crack. Peter then stands by a fire to keep warm, and some bystanders say to him, you also not one of those disciples, are you? And he denies it. No, I'm not. The second crack. Then, when you get enough cracks, the foundation collapses, and here it is. One of Malchus' relatives spots Peter and asks, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter again denied it, and once the rooster crowed, let these words sink in, once the rooster crowed, there it is, the result, guilt. For us, the collapse happens when we say, maybe just one more drink, or just one more lie, just one more fling, or maybe just one more look. Cracks start to form. But one more leads to one more and one more, and then enough cracks, eventually it collapses. Then we get that G word, guilt. I don't know about you if you like leftovers. I'm not a huge fan of leftovers. And maybe it's from when I was a kid growing up. My parents never wasted any of our food. I hated leftover beef stew. That was the worst. But my dad got really good at making ramen noodles and trying to disguise some of the leftovers in the noodles for lunch. It was a welcoming sight to witness my mother trying to finally clean out all those old leftovers. Peter, after the rooster crowed, probably felt like a leftover, left out, rejected, old beef stew, forgotten in the back of the refrigerator. That's what guilt does to us. Guilt turns us into miserable, weary, angry, stressed out people. And who loves leftovers? God does. And God gives grace. So how does that happen? We have to fast forward to John 21 when Jesus asks Peter if Peter loves him. And Jesus asked that question three times. Once every time Peter had denied the Lord. And each time Peter confesses, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Peter confesses guilt, but what gave him the faith to do that? While Peter was denying Jesus, Jesus was suffering for Peter. Jesus doesn't wait until we get it all together. Jesus doesn't wait until we overcome our temptations and fight our demons and conquer our sin. God shows his love for us that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And in our courtyard, we see guilt. But beyond the courtyard, we see the cross. We see grace. And what does grace mean for that? The comeback. Who preaches the first sermon after Pentecost? Peter. Whose sermon converts 3,000 people? Peter. Who writes two books in the New Testament? Peter. And listen closely. Comebacks don't depend on how much we love Jesus. Comebacks don't depend on how much Jesus, or comebacks depend on how much Jesus loves us. Comebacks don't depend on what we do for Jesus. Comebacks depend on what Jesus does for us. Comebacks don't depend on giving our life for Jesus. Comebacks depend on Jesus giving his life for us. Remember Black Bart? He was finally nothing to be afraid of. When the authorities tracked him down, he turned out not to be this bloodthirsty bandit. In fact, he was a mild-tempered businessman from Decatur, Illinois. This man pictured storming through the Wild West on a horse was actually afraid of riding horses, so he rode around in a horse-drawn buggy. Black Bart was Charles Bowles, the bandit who never fired a bullet because he never loaded his gun. See, our guilt for who he really is a deadly monster, a painful feeling that can do greater harm, no doubt, the torment of our souls, you can count on that, but also count on this. Guilt is a defeated enemy who has no bullets left in his gun. What does that mean for us? Our story isn't over when Jesus is in it. We can all come back from guilt. How do we do that? It's the best G word of all. Grace. Amen.